Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I'm actually expecting God to do certain things in our hearts tonight. So, Father God, I lift up every person that will watch or that will hear, either live or later in any form. And, Father, I'm praying that you put something in our hearts that will make us able to walk in the faith of God, that will make us hope in God and put our trust and our faith in God, and that will give us an understanding how to do it and how to develop a lifestyle that brings forth the good things of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and you know, sometimes you forget the road that you've been on for many years. And you know, I forget because I've been with the Lord a long time. Sometimes I forget what it used to be like. You know, you forget all the things God taught you on the way. And some of those things become your everyday normal, but you forget what it was like before you knew those things. And so one of the things that came up was, I was talking about how I used to be really dogged by a negative, a stronghold, but really it was the entire framework through which I saw life. I was an Eeyore kind of person, you know, it was always raining in Eeyore's world. And if it wasn't raining, Eeyore expected it to rain. And the reason a lot of us get that way is because we've been through tough stuff. We've had some negative things happen. And so it's very easy to get into this expectancy of we might call it failure or just things not working out right. And I know I'm not talking to everyone, but I think the tendency of the flesh is sometimes to the opposite of faith. And the reason this is a really big deal is that when the Lord began to reconfigure my thinking, he had to challenge me daily about the way that I was thinking, because the way I was thinking was causing an open door to the enemy. It was causing some problems. And so the Lord began to do this metamorphosis, and I asked him for it, but I didn't know, you know how it is when you first start to learn a subject. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. So I didn't know what questions to ask. I just knew things were going badly and I didn't know how to fix it. And I was feeling terrible about my life. And so God began to show me that he had a higher way for us. And as I learned how to do that, it's a method, it's a practical method. And what I discovered was he gave us methods that lead to victory. They shut the door on the enemy. They shut the door on the curse of the law, which is, if you really do yourself a favor, go to Deuteronomy and read the blessing of the law and the curse of the law. Because the curse of the law is basically every terrible thing that can happen to a person on the earth. Every kind of sickness and disease. It is barrenness, losing your job, losing your children, losing your home, losing your spouse. The curse of the law was every negative thing. And the great news is Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is huge. If you can understand it, that means if something is happening to you, could be any one of those things. Could be poverty. Let's say you're struggling with poverty or you have some big bills you've got to pay. Christ has redeemed you from poverty. Let's say that you're a young couple, and for whatever reason you want to have a child and you haven't been able to. Did you know that barrenness is part of the curse of the law? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But now here's something I learned about God. God doesn't just go around knocking on doors and saying, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to proactively undo it. No, he gives us his word saying, here's all the things you can do. And the way I was living in my early Christian life, I didn't know that. And I even had a good pastor who was trying to probably pound it through my thick skull, but I wasn't getting it. And I don't want anyone else to have to go through the long process that I went through. It took me a long, long time to come to understand how to walk in victory, how to walk in the blessing, how to expect good things. And the cradle of it, the very seed of it, where it happens is in our thoughts. Yes, it is your confession, Your confession is important, but it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so it is, to me, it is really key to make sure my heart is clean. And I don't just mean clean from sin, but clean from evil thinking, negative thinking, expecting the bad thing to happen. And I knew someone very, very, very dear to me. And she had had a long, I mean, years of some hard luck before she knew God. And I mean, it was, if she told you your story, you'd just, it was just horrendous. It was one thing after another that were not just bad things, but truly, truly horrible, horrible things. And the effect it had on her was she began to just believe that she was the person with the black cloud. I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but there used to be a cartoon where everyone in the cartoon was walking around under a sunny day, but there was this one guy. And everywhere he went, there was this black rain cloud. It was always raining on this guy. And she started to feel like that guy. She started to believe that no matter what she did, and she was very, very bright, I mean, exceedingly smart, you know, brilliant, really, was a good person in so many ways. But prior to her really developing a relationship with Christ, she had actually come to a place where she was speaking things like, every time I try this, that happens. Every time something good starts to happen, it all comes crashing in. And she so believed it in her heart, right, that she began to speak it and believe it. And here's the news. Faith works, whether your faith is negative or positive. Well, that's a radical example, but that's pretty much how I was. And let me just share this. This happens because of getting beat up. Even if you had a pretty good life, I had a pretty good life until I was in my late 20s. And then it just seemed like, I don't know what happened, but for about 8 years, it seemed like, to me, hell opened its mouth and just began to devour every good thing in my life. And I just couldn't understand it. And at first, I responded with prayer and probably some faith. But over time, I began to feel beat up, and I began to think in a very negative way, in a very almost negative expectancy. And I'm not proud of this. I got into self-pity. And so what was happening? My heart, my soul, my soulish realm, not my spirit man, but my soulish realm had begun to have faith and a great negativity. And I saw through those filters. I'm just going to say this. I believe that every human has filters through which they see life. In the business world, they call it a paradigm. I never really liked that word because it came out of nowhere like in the 90s. But suddenly it was the word of the day and everybody was saying it. But it's actually a word that makes sense. It is the filter through which you see life. It's the lens through which you see things. If you put on glasses that have, do you ever put on those glasses that have like an orange tint? Everything goes more orange. Or do you ever put on those sunglasses that brighten everything and the fields, instead of looking green, they look green? I mean, like really green, you know? And the glasses that you wear, the spectacles you have on, oftentimes add to or take away from the reality of what's going on. And so because I had in the cradle of my thoughts, the very seedbed, right? The place where my filters were coming from, there was damage. There was soul damage, right? And I would venture to say that most humans, we've been through things that have caused what we might call a knee-jerk reaction. Let me just give you an example. Let's say that a person lives through a marriage and it ends, let's just say it ends in divorce. This is just a made-up scenario. And let's say that in that marriage, their spouse continually was unfaithful to them. And let's say that that person finally hits the road and it's over. Now, a few years pass by and this person remarries. Their spouse goes out to the store in the evening to pick something up. They start to have fear, heart palpitations. They start to imagine, where did they really go? Now, this spouse is a completely different person. And they have given no evidence that they are cheating, but because of the filters of fear, right? Because of not wanting to be hurt again, we begin to react to the former things, right? The former things. What does the Bible say about the former things? And this can be any kind of thing that happened to you. Failure in business is a big one. Sometimes when people have a business failure, they are afraid to start anything new again, right? I was made fun of for humming, actually, when I was a little kid, and it made me terrified to sing in any capacity in front of anybody, anywhere. And it was just a terrible thing. So what happens to us makes a hit on our soul. And because of it, it causes filters that we think through, and you may not even know that you're doing it. If you're not a person that's analytical, and if you're not a person who thinks about why did I act like that, without the condemnation, sometimes it's good to take a little magnifying glass and say, why did I act like that? Why did I respond that way? And often there's a very good reason, and it's because you got nailed a few times, right? And the former things caused you to create a bit of a filter or an expectation that we might call faith, but not the good kind. And so as God was confronting me lovingly, he was contending with me, he knew. See, God knows who you really are. You know, God formed you in the womb, lovingly and tenderly. You're magnificently made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're made, you know, you weren't just slapped together. I mean, God, he was so dedicated. You know, he knows you. He knew you in the womb. He knows the real you. He knows what you're capable of. He knows all your possibilities. He knows everything, all the giftings that are in you. He knows what he made you to do. And he knows this infinite range of possibilities. Most of us, I actually truly believe that most of us only attain a small portion of what God would let us attain, you know, because he doesn't give us all of it at once. It's like if we're able to do this, he gives us that. If we're able to do that, he gives us more. And it's an ongoing, ever-increasing thing. But I believe most of us, and myself included, I don't think I've come anywhere near the possibilities that God intended for me. And I think that God looks at us, and it's not a condemnation thing. For God, it's an excitement. He looks at you and he knows who you are on the inside. And so for me, he saw, you know, he looks at us and we can look at us and we can almost see two people. The person, the identity, the new you, right? The recreated you, the born again you, the brand new creation born of God that lives inside this body. It's a spirit, your spirit man. And it's got stupendous ability, whether you know it or not. It's got amazing giftings. It's got all kinds of potential that will differ completely from mine and everybody else's. It's very, very unique. It's as unique as your fingerprint. And so God sees that, but he also sees that there's this this shell, our not just our body, but our soul and our mind and all our programming and our filters and our issues and our fears, right? Or our negative outlook or whatever our stuff is. Everybody has stuff. Unless your name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is you probably have stuff, or you at least did have if you've perfectly worked through all yours. Yay, you. I have not perfectly worked through all mine yet, but I am working on it. And daily, I see, and it's never a condemnation thing. It's a thing of, what do I need to do to walk in the fullness of who you made me to be? Because it's really exciting. Because I'll tell you something I've learned. There is no limit on the real you. You know, it doesn't matter what you... Listen, I'm not a writer. But I know for a fact that if I say, God, will you write a book through me? If I pray and I open myself, the Holy Spirit will write a book through me, right? I know that if I don't have a song, I could say, Holy Spirit, give me a song from heaven and he will give it to me. Is that because I'm gifted in that area? No, I've learned the secret. And here's the secret. If we dare to believe him, all things are possible to him who believes, right? All things are possible. And so there's a lifestyle that God wants his kids to have. And so he had to confront me. And to be honest, he had to confront me again and again and again, because transforming your mind takes a while, right? Even to see, I'll be really honest with you. I'd been through lots of emotional healing and deliverance, and I thought I was doing really good. You know, I thought I was doing good because I'd been delivered of all the big stuff, you know, the really bad stuff. I'd been delivered from pretty big stuff. And so I thought I was doing well spiritually. And one day God confronted me and he said that I needed to, my whole mind, I needed to change my mind. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, your mind is like a garbage can. And I said, what do you mean? I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I don't do this anymore. I don't do that anymore. I've been delivered from this and that. I thought I was doing good. But what he was saying, he said, you don't believe my word. You don't really believe most of what I say in my word. And he said, you have all these negative thoughts. And see, I didn't even yet see with the reality of heaven. I did not yet see how negative I was. I just didn't get it. And so as God gently and lovingly and very, very patiently confronted me, I began to uncover more and more false belief systems, things that I was actually expecting that were negative, that I had a very negative point of view, because I'd been beat up pretty bad and I didn't want to be hurt anymore, right? Isn't that the way we are? We don't want to be hurt anymore. And so God began to help me retrain the way I see, and I don't mean physically, but the way that I view, the filters through which I view have changed. I heard someone say brilliantly, I've heard of filters in the context in which I've always used the word is that they're not always a good thing. They're, generally speaking, when I refer to filters, a filter might be if someone in your family is a bigot, okay, I'm just making one up. Oh, my dad, who I love very much and was a great man in other ways, he came from a background where I think there might have been a little of that going on. And even as a child, I remember thinking, that doesn't make sense. Because now my dad was not a Christian man till later in life, but he told me that we were evolved from monkeys. And I remember being about probably 7 or 8 years old, sitting on the piano bench, and my dad saying something about that and me thinking, having this thought, which I now realize was probably the Holy Spirit. I remember thinking, well, if we all came from monkeys, then we're all related, which I didn't believe that then and I don't believe it now. But if we all came from monkeys, then we're all related. And if we're all related, how can you call someone a name because their skin is a different color? Because guess what? That's your cousin. And so my point is, but let's say someone grows up in a home where they are taught that a certain type of people are this way. Or did you ever meet someone who's a woman hater or a man hater? Because they were hurt or they were abused and they actually take on this kind of a stronghold of thinking all women are this way, all men are that way. It's just not true. It's not true. It's not true. There is no trait. I remember a woman telling me that all women have a poor estimation of time because she was always tremendously late for everything. It drove me nuts, by the way. If you wanted to go to church with her, you could plan on being 45 minutes late. I would show up at her house in plenty of time to get in the car and go to the service, and she'd be making coffee and chatting. Finally, she fessed up that she liked that time. I'm thinking, I want to worship. I want to go to worship. I want to go worship. Get in the car. And one day she said, you know, well, women just have this terrible estimation of time, and that's why we're late. And I said, well, excuse me, but that's not true. See, when you lump something together, that's a paradigm, right? That's a filter. This is just an example. But these filters, they can be all kinds of different filters. I remember when I was first saved, I was at work and everybody at work knew that I got saved. I mean, I had a Bible on my desk. I was witnessing. I was going to the Bible study. I mean, everybody knew. There was no big secret about it. And one day, someone really came against me about it. And I let something come in. I didn't know any better. I was a very young Christian. And I began to pull back at work. I didn't pull back other places, but I began to pull back at work because I had this fear of getting beat up again, right? So I let a little assault, right? This is what we do. I let it hinder me, because now I have this fear of getting hit again, right? So now I have this filter of, and here's the filter, if I witness boldly, I'll take a hit for that, right? And that's a filter. And so my behavior morphs around the filter. Can I say to you that our filters are causing us not to walk in the blessing of the Lord as fully as we could and should? And I think this is true of all of us. I've come an awfully long way, but I'm not where I want to be, you know, because I know that all of heaven is ours legally. Did you know that? All of heaven is legally ours. All the things Jesus died for us to have, every promise is yes and amen. You know what that means? That's a scripture. Every promise is yes and amen. It means it's yes and amen for you personally. It belongs to you. But how do you get it? Well, that's what I want to talk about. What I want to say here is that it took me years, but God began to help me change deliberately, on purpose, the way I perceive circumstances, the way I perceive life, the way I perceive people, the way I perceive heaven. Now, with every circumstance, I want to say this to you. You'll have a circumstance in the earth, and if you're not a heavenly-minded person, you will take that circumstance as your reality. Can I say that? If you have a circumstance that's in the earth, that's in your face, if you're not a heavenly-minded person, and if you're not a person of the scriptures, you will look at it like, well, this is my lot in life. Here it is. And you'll even think God has done this to you. Do you know that that is quite often not the case? A lot of what happens in the earth, either people have done, you've done, it just happened, or it was the enemy. Much of what happens in the earth was not the hand of God. So I'll give you an example. Someone gets sick. If you don't know the Bible, if you don't really understand your scriptures, you might think, well, God's mad at me and he made me sick. Absolutely not true. Absolutely alive from the pit of hell. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He healed, Jesus healed those who were oppressed of the devil. Sickness came from the devil. There wasn't sickness until the devil showed up. God doesn't have sickness to give you. God only has the blessing for his children. So if you think God gave it to you, you won't war, you won't battle. You'll just say, well, I guess God's mad at me. And you'll accept a package that isn't your package, okay? Poverty isn't your package. Sickness isn't your package. Business loss, that's not your package, right? God has blessings for his kids. Now, he's not just a Santa Claus God where this just all happens. There's certain things that we need to do to position ourselves, and one of them has to do with faith. And so I want to talk a little bit about this. I sat in a faith church for a long time and did not get this. But I want with all my heart, I prayed today, I prayed for you, I prayed for whoever will hear this, that they'll be able to do in a very short time what it took me a long time to do. Because this is what will cause victory in our life in every area. Even if things go badly in the earth, it doesn't have to go badly for us. I know a man who in the recession of 2008, when everybody, I remember I was still working at that point, I was in the corporate world, and people would stand around and talk about how the stock market was just plummeting, and there would be these conversations daily, I mean every day, people would talk about it. And they would look at their 401k and they'd go, oh, they'd agonize and, you know, should we pull out? Should we wait? Is it the bottom yet? Blah, 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 blah. And yet I knew a man who understood the principles of faith, and through faith, he was able to raise his stock account 60%, 6-0, when everybody else was plummeting, 60%. Now, it's important you understand that even in a day of famine, we can be blessed. Isaac sowed in a time of famine. So it doesn't matter. You know, I know things in the world are looking a little bleak right now, but now is our time to shine. Now's our time for faith. Now's our time to say, you know what? I see. I'm not blind. I see what's happening in the world, but I am a child of the Most High. I am a member of a covenant. And that covenant, it has a higher rule of law than this earth realm. So I'm going to read a couple things to you. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. I know you probably have this memorized, and I've always known it in the King James, but I'm going to read you the Amplified. King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But I like the Amplified because it gives a little better interpretation. It says, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and at the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And then it says, for by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. Now, what I want to say this is, the title deed, faith is the title deed. It's not just a substance, it is the title deed. When I paid off my old car, they mailed me the title deed. See, prior to that, I didn't really own the car. I owned the loan, and I was driving the car. I was stewarding the car. But when I paid the car off, I got a title deed. And if anyone were to say, prove to me that's your car, right here. If somebody stole my car, and I could cry and say, my car's been stolen, I no longer have a car. Oh no, I have a title deed right here. That car is my car. And if the police find that car, how do they know it's your car? I have the title deed. I own that car. And what I'm trying to say to you is, when you have faith, that is a title deed, that you are the legal owner of that thing, whether you can see it or not. The thing exists in heaven, right? Many, many things exist in heaven. Your healing exists in heaven, right? Your finances exist in heaven. There's a storehouse in heaven. He said, store your treasures in heaven. Do you know there's a real storehouse of your treasures in heaven? Do you know that? And when you give, your treasures are multiplied. And you say, well, where are they? They're in heaven. And so how do you withdraw them? By faith. And so if you can learn this, if you can get a hold of this, life will be so much easier. Because now I'm not going to tell you you won't have challenges. You'll have all the same challenges. But they become very, very easy to deal with because you're looking at them now through the filter of the scriptures. Instead of a bad filter, you're looking at them through the filter of faith. My filter now says, yeah, I see that there's a problem in the earth, but it's not a big deal because I know God now. And I know enough about him to know he's going to handle this for me. I may not know how, but I know that he will take care of me. If something happened and everything I had was taken, I don't have to fear because I know him. And I know the filter of the word of God. It says he's going to take care of me. He has to take care of me all the days of his life. He's obligated himself to do that. I belong to him. He owns me. He has to take care of me. But see, before, I didn't have that filter. I had the filter of every time this happens, that happens. And I was Eeyore. You know, now I'm more like SpongeBob. You know, SpongeBob, it's the best day ever. All these terrible things happen. SpongeBob's like, woo, it's the best day ever. See, and you can be an Eeyore, you can be a SpongeBob. So I want to say this. God has trained me, and he's still training me. I don't want to imply that I'm there. I will say I'm light years from where I used to be, but I also am not where I want to be. But I'm working on this. And one thing he's having me do is proclaim the thing I am believing for. You know, don't proclaim the problem and complain the problem and whine the problem and pray the problem. God already knows the problem. He sees it. He's not blind. And that doesn't help your heart. It doesn't encourage you. But begin to see the solution, right? Because God's already got one. Define it. Thank him for it. Believe him for it. And what's the scripture for that? Here's one that I've been using a lot. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. And so whether it's a big thing or a little thing, I'm believing for, several people's souls right now, but one person in particular is really, really heavy on my heart. I'm really believing God to do a work in their soul and to cause them to know Jesus Christ. I'm really praying for them. I'm praying in the spirit for them. But God really put it in my heart to begin to believe for their salvation. Believe they are saved. See them saved. Imagine, picture them going to church. Thank God for their salvation. Thank God that they're going to have an encounter with God. Now, I'm not going to tell him how to do it. He's God and I'm not. But I am going to believe it to be done. I'm going to read you that scripture again, because if this can become your habit, this is so powerful. You'll see things so quickly. I'm seeing things happen so quickly when I pray. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. Well, how do you act when you have received it? Woo-hoo! Remember the lady in the Bible says she lost a coin and she scoured and swept the house trying to find that coin. And when she found the coin, she called all her friends to rejoice because she'd found the coin. Well, how do you act when you found the coin you lost? Or how do you act when you get the sale on the house, or you're able to find the car you need to find, or your child gets healed? How do you act? You're delighted. You're thankful. You're praising God. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you act when you believe you have received it. And you say, even before I get it, yeah, that's exactly when you do it. Because what you're doing is you open the windows of heaven. You open the trapdoors of heaven. You open the floodgates for the promises which are there. They're already there. And by the way, they're already yours. Already yours. You know, when I have a need, I don't ever, oh God, won't you meet this need? Oh, please God, won't you meet this need? No, I say, Father, I'm just believing you. Thank you, Father, that you're going to meet that need. Thank you that you're going to pay that bill. Thank you that you're going to reach that soul. I begin to thank him for it. I begin to believe I have received it. I imagine, you know, if I believe it, then I can picture it as done, right? I can see it as done, see it with my heart. And instead of walking around like Eeyore, you know, when you can train yourself to respond. It takes some time. If you're like I was a negative Nelly, and I just really was expecting the negative because I had so much negative for a while, but you can retrain your response system. And I'm going to tell you something. Something I discovered is that when you're in the throes of difficult times, Satan tries to come along with his perversion. You know, he counterfeits everything, right? You do know that. He's a counterfeiter. He's never made an original thing in his life. And so he has a counterfeit of God's comfort. God is a true kind of comfort, which is based on truth, that God is going to work this out one way or another. You may not know how. But Satan's idea of comfort is to comfort you with your pain, comfort you with sorrow. I know it sounds strange, but people who are depressed often find comfort laying in bed and bemoaning their situation. Depression will often cause you to want to wallow in your self-pity and call somebody and just tell them, pour out your heart and pour out your sadness and pour out your difficulty and get them to feel bad with you. It's a sick, twisted, perverted type of comfort. And I know some of you heard me say this before, but do you remember the song, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, I've Come to Talk with You Again? And see, that's how I was. That's twisted, and it's a lying devil is what it is. Depression is believing a lie or a set of lies. In my case, I believed a whole pack of them, one of which was, it'll never get any better. Because I had that Eeyore thing. I really believed, it seemed, it looked like God didn't care. You see, I did not understand these truths. God does care. He loves us. And he loves us so much, he sent his son to die, not just to forgive us of our sin, but to cause us to be able to walk in heavenly things, meaning the promises, healing, finance, everything that he provided. He died to provide for us. But it is, the ball is in our court. And I'm going to tell you, the seedbed of what's going on here determines what happens in the earth realm. The seedbed of what's going on in our soul becomes our faith. It becomes what we expect, how we see, how we speak, what we believe, our actions, our behavior. And I remember the day, and I know I talk about this a lot, but I want you to do this if you haven't done this. I remember the day that God said to me, do you believe I am who I say I am? And he was said it kind of terse, you know, in a tough tone of voice. Now, my flesh wanted to go, sure I do. Of course I do, God. I believe you. But I knew God wouldn't ask me that question if I had it so right. He wouldn't have had to ask me that question. And I began to ponder it. And I began to think, well, I guess not. Do you believe I am who I say I am? Well, the Bible says you love me, but it sure doesn't look like it. I mean, this is, to be brutally honest, that's where my emotions were at. Because, and if you knew my life at that time, you would understand why I felt that way. My life was just awful, awful, awful. So bad I couldn't tell people about it. And it would, you know, I would look at the promises. It says I'm healed, sure doesn't look like it. It says all these things, but I sure don't see it. So my emotions are responding to the earth realm and the circumstances, not to your word. So the fact was, I was elevating my circumstances and my sensory perception of what I see with my physical eyes and what I hear with these ears. I was elevating that above the word of God. See, I was so foolish, I didn't even know how dreadful that was, that I was causing my own disasters, you see. Because what you have faith for, you get. And so when he challenged me that day, it wasn't because he was mad at me. It's because he wanted to bring me to a place of walking in the glory, walking in the presence, walking in the solution, walking in the answer, bringing heavenly things on earth and making that the norm. We will always have challenges in life. In fact, I think we'll have more challenges than ever. I think we're coming into more challenging times than we've ever seen. Probably. I don't know, but that's sure what it looks like to me. But you know what? We don't have to be one bit afraid. If we get to the place where we can say, you know what? I don't know how God's going to handle it, but guess what? This is not my problem. My problem is to get in faith and stay there. Get in the word and stay there. Believe my Father. When he said, do you believe I am who I say I am? I made a choice that day. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. And I want you to do this. If you've never done it, I want you to do it. I made a life decision. That means a life decision is something that you're going to spend the rest of your life working on. I've made a few of them in my life. It's changed the course of my life. And I want you to do this. The decision I made was, from this day, I'm going to begin to elevate God's word above my circumstances. I'm going to believe what he says. I looked at the carpet and it was blue-green, and I said, Lord, if you tell me that that carpet is red and my eyes tell me it's blue-green, I am going to choose to believe it's red. And I'm not just going to say it. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm not going to pretend, because there's lots of people who pretend they're in faith and they're not in faith, right? And it's easy to do. It's easy to do the faith talk and pretend like we're in faith when in fact we're not at all in faith. And that will not work. It's fake faith. It's feigned. It's fake. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't pull anything from heaven. It's just a mask. Might as well be a Pharisee. Oh, ouch. And so the decision I had that day was, I will choose to believe what you say. And I said, I'm not just going to say I believe it. I'm going to choose to believe it in my guts. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to walk like it. And I'm going to talk like it. Now, have I always done it perfectly? No. In fact, it is a life decision, meaning it's a thing that I get a little better at every year. Every year, and these days, it seems like every day, I notice changes and choices and improvements. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm challenging myself, because this was my worst, honestly, faith was my worst subject, and I knew it. And I'm not proud of where I was. But where I was I was mad at God because everything was so bad, you know? And so God really did pick me up out of the garbage heap. And I was a Christian. And I was living in the garbage heap. But you know what? Not because of ignorance. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And through a lack of knowledge, I was living in the garbage dump. But it was really by my own choice, right? Eeyore chooses to live in the garbage dump. SpongeBob says, you know, it's going to be a great day. This is the best day ever. You know, he's like the eternal optimist. And so what I'm saying to you is, we get to determine how much of the blessing that we walk in. Our faith level is very, very important. And we sometimes want to blame others or blame God or blame the devil even. But really, what I found is our choices and our faith determine our level of victory. And so there's some reconfiguration that has to happen. I'm still working on mine, right? But I pray that somehow this helps clarify it for you. I'm going to just read you a little quote that I read today. This is something that Chuck Swindoll said that I ran across today, and I just thought this was really fitting. It says, he said, "We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." And I just want to say, I remember when I was young, knowing what I was called to do and knowing without question it was absolutely impossible that it could ever come to pass. I was in some situations that made it impossible. And I couldn't even see, honestly, a way that God could even do it. It was so impossible. And yet here I am, all these years later, doing exactly what he told me I'd be doing. And he did that all by his grace. But my point is, nothing is impossible with God. God can recreate. You know, if something's wrong, he can recreate it. He can do anything. And I've seen him do it. And so I just want to encourage you, begin to see what God can do. Begin to look at what you have the title deed to. Look at the promises. Those promises, you know, it says that some people weren't benefited because it was not mixed with faith in them, right? If it's not mixed with faith, it's like if you pull a brownie mix out of the cupboard, you can't make brownies unless you mix it with water, right? Usually in eggs, maybe some oil. If you just put powder in the oven, you know what you're going to get? Powder, hot powder. Well, that's what the promises are. They have to be mixed with faith, or they will not come to pass. You can't say, well, Lord, you said it. Just do it. Why don't you do it? Why didn't you do it? You said it. Well, it has to be mixed with faith by somebody in the earth. So God loves you. He has a lot for you, a lot for you. Limitless, endless possibilities of the things God wants to do with your life and through your life and for you. Just because he loves you, because you're his very own. You're very precious to God. But it would mean a lot to him if you would work on how you see heaven and earth, how you see circumstances, and how you see him. Begin to see him as all-powerful. Begin to see his word. His word is all-powerful. His word is life. It's amazing. So God loves you. I love you. And I'll talk to you next time. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.